orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Religious principles begin from the time one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is the Acharya's duty to spread a bona fide religious system and induce everyone to bow down before the Supreme Lord. One executes the religious principles by rendering devotional service, specifically the 9 items like hearing, chanting, and remembering. Unfortunately, when the Acharya disappears, rogues and non-devotees take advantage and immediately begin to introduce unauthorized principles in the name of so-called swamis, yogis, philanthropists, welfare workers, and so on. Actually, human life is meant for executing the orders of the Supreme Lord. And this is stated in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, text number 34. Manmana bhavamat bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mamevaisyasi yuktvaivam atmanam matparayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me and become my devotee. Offer obeisances and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. The main business of human society is to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at all times, to become his devotees, to worship the Supreme Lord, and to bow down before him. The Acharya, the authorized representative of the Supreme Lord, establishes these principles, but when he disappears, things once again become disordered. The perfect disciples of the Acharya try to relieve the situation by sincerely following the instructions of the spiritual master. At the present moment, practically the entire world is afraid of rogues and non-devotees. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is started to save the world from irreligious principles. Everyone should cooperate with this movement in order to bring about actual peace and happiness in the world. Tishto tishta raja she imam mudadi me kalam dasubhya kshatra bandubhyo bibhyatim patum arhasi. O best of the kings, please get up, get up. Just see this world surrounded by water and infested with rogues and so-called kings. This world is very much afraid, and it is your duty to protect her. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gedamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripadam aham vande sri guru dinataranam paramananda madhavam sri chaitanya ishwaram. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyah evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. We're very happy to be back in Mayapur, back home. When you come to Vrindavan or Mayapur, devotees always say to welcome you, welcome home. So this is our eternal home by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are very fortunate and grateful to be back here in our eternal home. There's so many God brothers and so many senior devotees here. I beg their blessings and the mercy of all the Vaishnavas to say something useful. We're here for self-purification. In this verse, Vaidarbhi is lamenting and she is asking her deceased husband, the king, to please get up and do your duty because the earth is very much afraid because of a lack of protection. So the topic of this verse is protection, and it is a very delicate subject matter because of the abuse of power from different personalities and institutions, this subject matter, which usually is quite a natural, quite a organic, quite a normal subject matter, has become a very delicate topic if you speak about protection. We have the three main examples given here of the king who is giving protection to the citizens. If you're talking about kings and kingdoms, people think, oh, this is archaic. This is old feudal times. This is not the present, what we are dealing with right now, isn't it? Think, where are there any kings? But even to this day, there is still kings and kingdoms. And the titles have slightly changed. Nowadays, leaders take on different names and titles, but actually, they're fulfilling the same functions. Then we have the example of the guru, or the spiritual teacher, who is giving protection. So the king is giving protection to his citizens. The kshatriya, he is kshatrayate. He's preventing people from getting harmed. He's not only preventing people from being attacked from outsiders, he's also preventing people from harming themselves. Because a lot of times we are our own worst enemies, and we are actually causing harm, not only to others, but to ourselves. So the kshatriya's duty is to see that everybody in the kingdom is following the rules of Varnasham Dharma and is living a peaceful life, peaceful coexistent life. Then the guru, the spiritual teacher, is protecting his disciples and all the people who have taken shelter in his instructions. Nrideha madhyam sulabam sudurlabam plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam mayanukulena navasvateritam pumam bhavabdim nataretsa atmaha. The disciple takes shelter in the boat of the instruction of the guru. And this boat is always waiting for the disciple or for the sincere student at his shore of the ocean, ready to cross over that ocean of birth and death. So, then we have the example of the husband and the wife. And there, of course, it is a very delicate subject matter because the topic of protection is not very popular nowadays. Just when coming to Mayapur a few days ago, I spoke with some friends, a couple, and the first comment of the lady was, I am not going to be a Vedic wife anymore, in front of her husband. I wanted to ask, well, what kind of wife are you going to be then? So, protection, a lot of times has been abused, has been meant to state in terms of protecting women, okay, you stand over there, you cover your head, you do this, you do that, you don't do this, you don't do that. But that is not how the topic of protection is actually approached in Vedic culture. So, when we speak of protection, there is of course physical protection, emotional protection, psychological, economical, but also spiritual protection. And a husband who is a devotee of the Lord is seeing his role as a protector not in terms of a master, of a boss, of a tyrant, or of a person who is exploiting, but as his servant. Just like the spiritual master is the servant of his disciples and of all living entities. Otherwise, if the tendencies of Kali Yuga creep in, then we become overcome by the modes of passion and ignorance, which means lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, all these different highway robbers. And then it becomes a society of cheaters and cheated. It's like Srila Prabhupada comments here in the purport, that when the acharya leaves, immediately there is so many rogues and non-devotees who take advantage of this situation. In the name of so-called swamis, philanthropists, and then he says, and so on. Nowadays we can, you fill in whatever you want in those blanks. So corruption is a very serious topic If you were to look at the papers, I'm not saying you have to, I'm saying if you were to look at the news, corruption is practically on every headline, in every paper. Not only in India, all around the world. Corruption is so prevalent on all layers of society that people are complaining that you can't get anything done without bribing, without calling favors, without applying unnecessary pressure on people. Very unfortunate situation. Corruption is so big that even that in a spiritual organization like ISKCON, in the world headquarters of Sriram Mayapur, we have our anti-corruption office in the long building right over there. Did you know that? So, if I want to report myself for being corrupt, that's the place where I can do it. Of course, I can also go in front of their lordship, Sri Sri Radha Madhava, and say, I'm here. I have sinned. I'm a corrupted living entity. I have exploited your energy. I have cheated you and your devotees. I have not been honest with myself and the world. So, this process of Krishna consciousness is a process of introspection. This self-analysis should happen on a regular basis. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that if we want to make spiritual progress, this is in Bhaktisiddhanta by Bhav, that book. If you want to make spiritual progress, you have to take shelter in the association of living devotees. Cannot separate yourself and engage in your own nirjan bhajan, on your own studies. Last night, I read a few pages of a very interesting and wonderful book. It's called Modern Hindu Personalism. It's published by Oxford Press, by my dear friend and brother Pranava Prabhu, who has done his PhD. And it is about the life and teachings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So you can look that up on Amazon. You can already order it. It's been released 2 days ago in America. His name is Fernando Sardella. Okay? Now, he has the last instructions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a letter to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur just before leaving this world. And he has published it in that book. And if you like, I can read a few points from those last instructions. You sure you want to hear this? Came all the way to Mayapur just to share this with you. Okay. So, it's 6 points, but it's an entire page. It's very detailed instructions. I'm just going to touch on 3 points here that I found quite remarkable because they kind of fit into the topic of protection, taking shelter of the instruction of the spiritual master. So in this letter, 1926, saying that real seva in Mayapur is possible by setting up a printing press, by distributing bhakti literature and establishing namhata, not by solitary bhajan. Another point is, Sridham Mayapur will develop if a center of devotional learning is established. And one more point is, never bother to acquire knowledge or funds for personal consumption, only for the purpose of serving the divine. Avoid bad company for the sake of money and self-interest. If you want to hear the other points, you have to buy the book, okay? All right, so the commercial is over. But it is quite interesting to see how Srila Prabhupada has imbibed these instructions to such a wonderful extent. Srila Prabhupada said, I have never cheated you. I have never deceived you. I have given you the process as I have received it, without adulteration. I have not added anything. I have not subtracted anything from it. So, that is very remarkable. We can see here, in this story of Puranjana, which is told by Narada Muni to King Prachinabharishad, how as a preacher and a devotee, he is being very relevant to his audience, and he's speaking about topics that are very meaningful. They're very interesting and meaningful to his audience. And because he is commanding, he's commanding trust from Prachinabharisha, there is this relationship, there is this faith, this trust is there. Now when the Acharya leaves, the Acharya usually is a charismatic personality. Usually when the Acharya leaves, then the society tries to legislate charisma and to institutionalize charisma. But you cannot legislate and institutionalize charisma or trustworthiness. Because trust or shraddha means to give one's heart. Nobody can order you to give your heart. You cannot make a law. Okay, today at 10:30, you have to give your heart to such and such. It's not possible. We're in a volunteer organization. A volunteer organization runs on ananda, which means on bliss, on spiritual happiness. If we don't feel that I can trust this person and this person is truly inspiring me to give my heart, to give my life, we cannot say, you must surrender. You must do this. When my first spiritual master left the movement, many devotees came up to me and said, you must take reinitiation right now. And some came and said, no, you should not take reinitiation from anybody. And I was like, come on guys, give me a break. You know? So, some people came up to me and said, oh, I could be your guru. And I felt, maybe not, you know, I like you, but maybe not. So, it was a dilemma. It was quite a difficult situation. So what do you do in a difficult situation? You take a step or two back, you let the trucks pass, and you let the dust settle. And that took a few years. And then, now I'm sharing this very freely with you because we're in the family. And as Srila Sanatana Goswami is telling us the story in Briya Bhagavatamrita of Gopkumar, and Gopkumar is speaking to this uneducated Brahmana from Mathura, and he's telling him, for a Vaishnav to speak about himself is poison. Vaishnav is not interested in speaking about himself. But the most convincing form of evidence, not the highest form of evidence, but the most convincing form of evidence, is personal experience. And that's why he's telling him the whole second volume of Priya Bhagavatamrita, his entire life story, how he journeyed through all these different planets and all these different regions of the universe. So I'm sharing this with you, and please forgive me if it sounds self-indulgent. It is not at all the purpose of this account. I just tried to make this point of protection, taking shelter of the instruction of the spiritual master, being relevant, being accessible and available to our audience, and doing what it takes in order to actually reach the person or the people that we're trying to reach. So I was not in a situation where I was looking for another Führer, because I already had a leader before. I was looking for a mentor, for a guide, and for a friend. And I found that. And it took me quite some time to realize who that person was, because that person was very unassuming and not imposing. Till the relationship developed to a point where I got down on my knees and I proposed. And the answer that I got was, look, it's like this. Number one, I am your servant. Number two, I'm your friend. Now, if number three, you want me to be your spiritual master, I can do that too. But you have to remember that first and foremost, I will always stay, number one, your servant, and number two, your friend. And I said, I can live with that, but I need number three now. Otherwise, I don't see how my life will actually progress. So, protection is available in the instructions of the spiritual master, and the relationship may slightly change. It will evolve over due course of time, like we heard yesterday. The relationship between husband and wife, or the relationship between master and servant. Initially, there's a lot of talking, and there's a lot of externals and socializing, maybe to some extent. But then after some time, when the relationship matures, the disciple understands the heart and the mood and the mission of the spiritual master, and is trying to carry it out in order to please the spiritual master. Now, in our society, Shishi Radha Madhava is the center of this Mayapur community. They're the center focus of our attention, of our hearts, of our prayers, and of all our activities. And by working together as a team of like-minded, supportive, and humble Vaishnavas, in a respectful way, we can actually attract the mercy of the Lord and attract the attention of so many people. Because when people come here to Mayapur, they want to see, okay, your temple is great. Your books are wonderful. Now I want to meet those people who are practicing this philosophy. I took a walk yesterday with a friend through Gaur Nagar, and we thought, wow, what happened, man? What went wrong? You know? Yes. We have to be a little introspective and see how we can not make the same mistakes. I humbly beg you, please take a walk from Hulur Ghat all the way up to Chaitanya Math and see what's going on the left and right side of the road. Not just in terms of construction, but more in terms of maths, in terms of groupisms, in terms of schisms, and different types of other ventures. Srila Prabhupada gave us this movement, and he wanted us to preserve his legacy. He said, don't make me another Alexander. Don't just go out and conquer, and behind you everything goes back to the way it was. So, in this shloka that I quoted, the instructions of the spiritual master are like a boat. And the living entity can take shelter in this boat to cross over the ocean of birth and death, the ocean of nescience. Now, when you're in a boat, there's a few basic, simple rules that should be followed. Number one is, we should lift the anchor. Otherwise, it will not move. Number two, the people who are rowing should row in the same direction. Otherwise, what happens is, you will just go in circles. Number three, you need a captain. There has to be one person on the boat who knows where we're going and he knows how to get there. A lot of times in our projects, people say, okay, we got a project. Okay, we need money. All right, everybody, let's get out there and get money. So they take a ball and kick it and say, everybody run over there. And then when you're there, they say, okay, now the leader picks it up. Let's kick it. And then everybody, over there! And then we run over there. And every 2 or 3 years, some people say, what's going on here? What's happening? What are we doing? Where are we going with this? When you're on a boat, there should be no mutiny. There's too much friendly fire. You know what friendly fire means? When people are confused in war, they don't know who's the enemy and who's the friend. So they just start shooting around because they just feel trigger happy. They just want to hit something. So what do they hit? Well, first they shoot all their toes off, you know? They just start shooting things. So, and then, don't jump overboard. Because when you're in the ocean and you're jumping overboard, there is not that much people can do in the boat for you. It's not easy to rescue people who are jumping overboard. So When we're talking about community and talking about creating an environment of trust, it really is substantial that we trust Krishna and his instructions in Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna says, Kaunteya Pratijanihi, Name Bhakta Pranashati. Do we trust these words? Do we actually have faith in the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That Krishna is Yogakshema Vahamyaham. That Krishna will carry what we lack and preserve what we have. And are we trusting our leadership? Are we trusting ourselves? That is the question. But if the common scenario is that I cheat you, you cheat her, she cheats him, he cheats the other one, and that fellow cheats me, and we all go home happy because we're all praying in the same church, then after some time it becomes a little bit annoying, becomes a little disturbing. So I'm mentioning these points, not as accusations, just as points of reflections, as food for thought. Now, I have heard that here in Mayapur, there's 300 resident Russian-speaking devotees. That's wonderful. I congratulate you on your venture and your enthusiasm to move to Mayapur. And I truly hope that some of you, or maybe some of your children, will be enlightened and self-realized devotees and deliver your lands, because there's more than 50,000 people chanting Hare Krishna in the Russian-speaking countries. And we have two Russian-speaking spiritual masters initiating gurus right now. So if you feel there is not enough space in your temple, you feel slightly overcrowded, you know, there's some growth regions, there is some ability to expand like that. Of course, we should prepare ourselves, and that is why we're here in Sridhar Mayapur. Now, this is a joke I borrow from my dear friend Shyamananda Prabhu, used with permission. Once a man came to a village and he asked, are there any great people here? Do you have any leaders or any scholars or any other types of famous people here? Anybody which comes from this village, anybody born here like that? And you know what the answer of the people was? No. Only babies are born here. So right now, it looks like in Sridhar Mayapur, babies are born. And a lot of them. And it's great. It's wonderful. And I truly hope that the schools and the community and the village and eventually the city will mature. And it will develop to such an extent that we can actually give these living entities the association, the inspiration, and the support to do for what they came to do. And that we are not hindering and stifling their development. So, trust and trustworthiness is a big topic. And spiritual life truly depends on it. Each and every one of us is here today because we trusted somebody at one point. We said, okay, I'm going to eat this halava. All right, what's in it? You know, tell me, can I eat this? And the devotee was like, hey, I ate 10 of those, you know? Look at me. So, by seeing the personal example, we all trusted somebody. And we're still here today because there's devotees who care for us, there's devotees whom we trust. So I humbly beg you, please be available and be accessible for the people in your universe, in your community, in your area, and instill in them this feeling of trust and take care of them in whichever way you can. And in this way, Krishna consciousness can actually grow, it can actually develop in a sustainable and in a successful way. Now, I'll end with one short story. I was just in Ukraine, and at the Sunday feast, in front of several hundred people, one 11-year-old girl asked me the question, how she can complete her set of Srimad Bhagavatams. And I was thinking, that's quite a bold question for an 11-year-old at the Sunday feast. She says she has all the books except four titles. And how can she can get those? Because they're quite expensive and she doesn't have any money. So I gave her some hints, some ideas. But I thought, how come this girl can have so much taste in reading Srimad Bhagavatam and so much faith that this is what's required right now in her life? But what about me? Huh? I mean, I have the books on the shelf. I have them on my computer. I even read them. But do I have taste for them? Do I actually believe what it says? When Prabhupada's speaking about protection is not a philosophical concept. This is reality. We depend on this. So, it became quite obvious to me that this person has got taste in Srimad Bhagavatam, has realized the shloka, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam, Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. This Bhagavatam is so dear to that person that all she can think of, and now, you know, usually 11-year-old girls, if you ask them, what's your wish list, what would you like for your birthday, usually you don't get, okay, 4 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. There might be a few other things, you know. For the boys, the same thing. She wanted that Bhagavatam. She said that her mother is selling samosa prasadam on the market. And the lady who supplies the cheese, which is in those samosas, that lady died a week ago. But she said that lady got a good birth, a good destination. I said, how can you be so sure? How do you know? She said, first of all, she supplied the cheese at the cheap price for prasadam distribution. And second of all, she bought a book from me, she said. So I said, man, she has so much faith in the process. What about me? I'm thinking, oh, I've done so many books. Where are the people? Are these books still relevant? We hear sometimes, oh, you have to rewrite the books, you have to write other books, and people can't read these books. Huh? She has got so much faith. I was in Mexico, Mexico City. There was a gentleman in a three-piece suit with polished leather shoes, golden rings, and a golden watch. And he looked very aristocratic, very posh. And I went up to him, and I showed him Prabhupada's books. And he just looked at me like, you know, like, I don't need this, you know. I'm fine. I mean, look at me. I'm fine, you know. But because I told him I'm from Switzerland, so he didn't want to be rude, so he just said, why? Por qué? Por qué? Fuck esto. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And I said, I'm doing this because I'm trying to be a monk and it is for self-purification. I'm trying to develop humility, introspection, and what was the third one? And selfless service. Thank you for reminding me. And he said, okay, how much? And he bought the book. So, people are not looking primarily for knowledge. There is countless books out there. There's terabytes of information. People are not there to get knowledge. They want to hear realization. They want to see what has this done for you? How has this affected your life? What difference has this book made in your life? One devotee in Bali, in Denpasar, he goes out to the beach and he distributes books there to the tourists. And you know how people are when they're on the beach. So he just tells them, look, before I was a drunk, I was a woman hunter, and I was a cheater. And this book now has really made my life much better. And people are, wow, okay, all right. I may not be that bad, but okay, I'm interested. You got my attention. Please, give me this. Narada Muni is speaking about Puranjana, about a king, to Prachinabharishad, who is also a king. He's speaking about topics that are relevant, that are interesting to that person. We should ask ourselves, am I relevant to my audience? Am I connecting with the people, not just on the street, but with the people in my home, in my ashram, in my temple, in my community? Now, how do we connect? Service. We connect through service. Sambandha. Huh? then I'll be Dayan Prayojan. But if there is no service, if there is no attitude of service, then there is no common ground. And if there is no common ground, there is no community. We may be a band of people who are thrown together and we have similar interests, but if we don't actually share the same values, the same ethos, and the same principles in life, a community cannot grow from this. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had a wide range of devotees, from kings to beggars, from householders to sannyasis, from dogs to elephants and tigers. And they all became affected by his mercy and by this Harinam Sankirtan movement. So the process of this age, Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam Sangha Pangasha Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayaya Jantihi Sumedasa. Sankirtan Yagya is the Yuga Dharma, it is the process for this age, and it is also the process for Anartha Nivritti. Chetodharpanam Arjunam. This is how we cleanse our heart from kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarja, from these unwanted things that are troubling us, that are keeping us away from our bhajan, to really absorb ourselves in chanting Krishna's name. So, Harinam Sankirtan is widely available. But because there is a certain disconnect, we have certain misconceptions in our life, we separate ourselves from the Sankirtan, we separate ourselves from the association of devotees, we separate ourselves from our spiritual master. Last night during Damodarastakam, a god brother turned to me and asked me, Prabhu, did you have any personal association with Guru Maharaj this year? And I said, yes, every day. Every day. Every day I'm together with him. All day long. Now, physically speaking, I spent a couple of days with him this year. But in my heart and in my meditation, that is the goal. So, a lot of time we confuse Vani and Vapu. Same like Shiksha and Diksha. We institute some myths, some mythology, populism, nationalism, other types of isms. They become very dominant in Kali Yuga. Why? Because it is very convenient. It is very convenient to manipulate people, to exploit people, and to mislead people. So we should read these books in the association of devotees, discuss them deeply, how they apply into our lives, so we can actually become free from this cheating tendency. Because otherwise, when the blind are leading the blind, andaya tandaya rupaniyamana tepi satantra murudham nibada. Once the cheating business starts, there is no winners, because there is no honesty amongst thieves. So we came here to Mayapur not as real estate agents, not as owners and possessors of mats or disciples, not as tourists, not as scholars. We all came here as beggars of the holy name. We all came here to try to humbly render service to the Vaishnavas, so we too can be allowed entrance into the Dham, and we can also participate in this Nitya Lila, this extraordinary pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that we can chant with a pure heart, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you for your patience and tolerance. It is a work in progress, and as they say in the airports, inconvenience cost regretted. Any questions? Yes.
Yes. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for your wonderful lecture. It was very enlightening. My question is concerning a certain type of cheating, and I was just wondering what to do about, if it's maybe due to my personal intolerance. When we go to Gurnaga, as you mentioned, I have the strong impression that like a metropolitan city is coming along, and it's really hurting my heart, because a city must maybe not necessarily be like this place, very cold, a lot of gray stones, maybe colored, but still very small paths, these things. And so it gives me a sad feeling, because Mayapur actually is such a beautiful place. So I'm just wondering, can I do anything?
Sure. There's many things you can do. First of all, we can sincerely chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and pray to Sri Panchatattva and Sri Radha Madhava and Lord Nrisimhadev, that they may please eradicate this lust and greed from our hearts. That we don't think that, okay, I got to build a place and I got to make a few crores of profit, and that's why we have to max the floor space, so we don't leave any space for pathways or for gardens, and we just put a 7-story block here and try to sell it for profit. Second of all, what we can do is, when you build your place, you do it differently. And every community, every nation has the leadership it deserves. So you can vote with your feet, or whichever way you vote in your community, and establish certain rules, certain guidelines. That is required. Otherwise, our children and our grandchildren will come here and they will say, you guys were fools, you were idiots. You build a beautiful temple, but look at the rest. And we know it's true. And we'll be ashamed, because we have not done what we could. So there's different levels, there's different layers, different things that we can do. So, but to go on a campaign is usually not the most productive thing. So I have to figure out, where do I have leverage? What is my circle of influence? Like for me right now, I may have the mic, but usually in my life, this is my circle of influence. It's right here. So I have to start working on myself, because I'm cutting in the line. I'm not waiting. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. So why should I accuse others of the same things that I'm doing? Any other questions? Yes, please. Sure.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I wanted to make a comment about something that you were mentioning. When somebody asked you, did you have some time with your Guru Maharaj? Okay? Yes. Once upon a time, I spoke to my Guru Maharaj and I said to him, Maharaj, sometimes I lose my temper, I say stupid things, I get into uncomfortable situations, and what is the process? What should I do? How should I react? What should I react? And he said to me, Mother Mangal, just remember, next time you say something stupid, or you get into an argument with somebody, or you do something that you regretted later, he said, just remember, I'm standing right next to you. So I was thinking about, we should always be conscious that no matter where we are, our spiritual master and other spiritual masters are standing right next to us. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for sharing. Any other points?
Oh, and I wanted to ask a question, please.
Can I
ask a question, please? You were saying right in the beginning about mentioning that it's poisonous to talk about yourself. So how do you, when you in the association of devotees and you want to share some preaching nectar or something, you have to talk about yourself, but how do you do that?
Well, first of all, it's a question of intent. What is my motivation?
Yes.
Like when you see in these biographies about Srila Prabhupada, for some people it's about themselves, and Prabhupada was also like, he was also there. He was just present. He happened to be at the same place where I was. Then you have other people, it's kind of like equal level, and other people, they play themselves down and they put Prabhupada up. And it makes a different impression, it makes a different reaction on the audience. So what is our intent? What is our motivation? And do we actually see it as the mercy of the spiritual master and Prabhupada? Or is it just pure self-indulgence? Do we just want to portray ourselves as something that we're actually not? That is how I deal with it. But if in doubt, don't. Sometimes it's better just to keep quiet. Because the more you tell about something, usually the taste and the value and the experience goes down. So some things better just keep them to yourself. Brief moments of clarity are worth more than a whole life of extravagance and wastefulness. Devotee is never boastful. So this whole internet bonanza that we're experiencing now of people trying to expose their exploits in the tabloid style is quite distasteful. But if you become disturbed by it, that means we're not free from it. And so, thank you for that, giving me something to chew on. Any other points? We got 2 more minutes. Yes.
How do you make others aware that they are participating in a cheating process without disturbing them so much that they become completely lost? Without disturbing their faith so
yes.
much that they become completely lost?
The question is, how can we make others aware that they're part of a cheating process without disturbing them and completely spoiling their faith and upsetting their lives? First and foremost, by you or by us giving a positive example ourselves, because example speaks louder than precept. People will watch and they will see how you do and they will follow your example. And see what is your circle of influence, if you can reach that person. If not, don't bother. Krishna is the inside agent. He's in the heart of every living entity, giving everybody knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. And Srila Prabhupada comments in the purport of 10.10, Satyam Satata Yuktanam, that you might be in a spiritual organization, you have a spiritual master, but still something is lacking. And Krishna within your heart will cover that lack, if you're sincere. So we're not looking for expertise. Gop Kumar was naive to the ways of the world. When he was in Brahmalok, he asked, everybody got up and moved around, and he asked, who is this fellow? And they said, oh, you don't know? This is Lord Brahma. He was like, oh, okay. He's a 12-year-old tower boy from Govardhan. So it's not about our expertise. It's not about how much we know, how much we can analyze and see what's wrong and how it's wrong and this and that. But what can I do to help it? So if I can't make it better, I shouldn't try to make it worse. Because otherwise it's really foolish. In the name of trying to help somebody, we aggravate the situation and we make it worse. So that requires intelligence. And as Giriraj Swami told me, Prabhupada told him, if you want to do preaching and outreach and counseling and all these activities, it requires a little intelligence. And intelligence means good experience. Comes from good experience. And good experience comes from bad experience. So, I guess that's why I'm sitting here. Because I have stepped on enough rakes in my life. I have enough marks over my face that I can share with people. Like somebody asked me in Ekaterinburg after a public program on how to become a happy human being. He asked the question, okay, what's the title of your book? I want to look for your book when I go to the store. And I said, major mistakes of my life, you know. That will be the title of my book, you know. The top list of all the mistakes of my life. So, physicians, heal thyself. In order to be authentic, we should apply ourselves to this process. And then, where possible, help. But we are a multifaceted society. And as we mentioned earlier, it is a volunteer organization. We can't force anybody. We're not paying anybody. So people are here on their own terms. It's up to their own volition how they take to the process. And that is Krishna's kindness. That is Srila Prabhupada's benevolence that he has given us this movement, and he has made it widely accessible to everybody. He has not made any distinctions. He has not made any classifications. He said, simply chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And the pleasure of the spiritual master is the active principle in spiritual life. Yasyadeve prabhakti yatadeve tataguro. They asked Prabhupada, how can we make you happy? He said, if you love Krishna, that will make me happy. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.